T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 9:30 in 716.
The pros and cons of lowering the blood alcohol content level for DWI.
That would pretty much force everyone to either, not have a drink or two at dinner, or ensure that you get an Uber or a Lyft.
You know, if you're a 130-pound, 150-pound person, if you've had just two beers or two glasses of wine, if you lower it to 0.05, that's technically now what we consider driving while intoxicated. And
I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716. Every U.S. state has set the maximum legal blood alcohol concentration at 0.08%. The move to set the 0.08 legal limit began in the 1980s, heated in the 90s, and ended when the last state to comply, Delaware, set that limit back in 2004. Now, the primary industries that resisted at 0.08 BAC were alcohol producers and restaurants, the latter often claiming impairment statistics did not take into account how taking food with alcohol slows down its metabolic activity. But the arguments just about ended when the federal government used the threat of cutting off highway funds to coerce every state into setting the 0.08 limit. Now, the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, suggesting states lower the BAC limit to 0.05%, saying at that limit a person will still be impaired and have steering problems behind the wheel.
Well, obviously, if that's done, that's going to change everything.
Erie County District Attorney John Flynn spent time this week talking about DWI and distracted driving with teenagers. And he was on WBEN discussing the lower BAC proposals that are out there, neither endorsing or rejecting their validity, saying only they would be game-changing for society.
You know, it's a very sensitive subject.
It sure is, and while not diminishing the tragic impact DWI has had, restaurateur and hotelier Mark Croce does voice some deep concerns.
There's been a lot of people over the years that have been affected by intoxicated drivers with blood alcohol levels much higher than 0.05. So it's one of those subjects that's difficult to discuss because of all the people that have had family and others impacted by some devastation. But there's so many other distractions these days and other things that cause people to be impaired that I think we got to keep it in balance because they continue to lower it. You know, I did a little research in almost every state now. 0.08 is considered the legal limit of intoxication. But, you know, if you're a 130-pound, 150-pound person, if you've had just two beers or two glasses of wine, if you lower it to 0.05, that's technically now would be considered driving while intoxicated and would be criminal and could cause you to lose licenses like medical and other licenses, legal licenses, and other people that rely on, and again, it's a balancing act trying to have this discussion because for those that have been affected by people that have been very intoxicated versus, lowering a level that's significantly almost half the national level, I think there's a lot of other issues that need to be addressed out there. I mean, there's no control. There's all this talk about legalizing cannabis and how are they going to enforce driving while impaired where people could be just as much or more impaired with substances that can't be readily tested for, texting while driving, an extremely dangerous situation where people are distracted and taking their eyes off the road. And so again, not to minimize the issue, it's just I don't understand why we're getting so aggressive in this state when the levels have been lowered over the years and on a national level to 0.08 and 0.04 for impaired. It's basically, from my perspective, it's going back to prohibition. I mean, it's going to get to the point where, you know, eventually if you have one glass of wine, they're going to consider you legally intoxicated. And I don't think that is representative of people's ability. I mean, to be in a somewhat minor state of relaxation from having a glass of wine versus actually being legally intoxicated, I think there's a big difference. And
well, for someone like you or someone else in your shoes, that could have a major impact if people think that way, that, you know, all right, well, one or two, that will can't do that.
Well, the thing is, you know, I don't want anybody to misconstrue my message, because I'm not endorsing, people driving, drinking and driving while intoxicated by any means. We have a number of establishments where we have liquor licenses, and we have responsibility to the public and to our license to make sure that people don't become legally intoxicated. And if they appear to be intoxicated, you know, we have every right and obligation to cut them off and stop serving them. So, again, it's a judgment call. And people, you know, have their own judgment when it comes to their level of if you call it impairment. But it's also a function of one's body weight. So if somebody weighs 130 pounds, you know, and maybe an average size woman, her level of intoxication after a glass or glass and a half of wine would be at a much different level than you know, a heftier gentleman that might be 240 or 250. So, you know, the calculation is based on a function of alcohol in the bloodstream, which is a direct correlation to body weight. So, you know, a glass or two of wine to one person would have a completely different impact than it would to another person. And again, you know, not to be self-serving, because, you know, we do sell food and beverage, and we are careful to make sure that we don't allow people to overconsume. We are sensitive to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of devastation that comes with people that are involved with drunk drivers, but now, I have a bigger concern with people that may be impaired by other substances that aren't readily detectable by any type of device and are going to solely be relied on for professionals and people that are experts in impairment detection. And that becomes very subjective, and it's going to be very, very hard to monitor. And with this proliferation of this new cannabis movement, I think we have a lot more to be concerned about as far as legalizing things that are going to not have any control mechanisms in place and possibly have to deal with a lot more, if you will, impaired drivers on the road that aren't impaired by alcohol.
Right. You know, we should mention, too, that this is not a state proposal, because there have been a lot of state proposals, but this is not one of them. This is a national proposal that's being talked about at a impaired driving summit in Buffalo today. But any thoughts on, do you think there'd be a big lobby against this? On a national level,
there would be a big lobby against it, because it's, you know, unless you got national groups like the National Restaurant Association or others involved, again, nobody's going to support. The reality is there's accidents every day, and there's definitely a correlation. There's been graphs that have been produced by the level of intoxication and the likelihood of an accident, but it gets significantly higher when you get into levels that are 0.08 and above. I don't think there's as much data when you're talking about, you know, someone that's had one glass or two glasses of wine or beer. Again, there's some level of intoxication at any consumption level, but at the same time, there's accidents that happen every day, even when, and people haven't had a beer or haven't had a wine. So there's that, you know, because somebody is involved in an accident, statistically, you know, I'd like to see if there's more research done if someone is at a level that is under the legal limit. If people have actually compared the accident rate for people that have had not one alcoholic beverage versus people that would be involved in an automobile or other type of accident, even if they were completely sober and had nothing to drink, because statistically people are going to be in accidents regardless, and it's always, you know, sometimes easy to blame it strictly on alcohol, because it's, again, it's a devastating thing when somebody is involved in an accident that injures or affects somebody's, you know, family member or loved one or things of that nature. So it's one of those sensitive subjects that's difficult to talk about, because there's, you know, a balancing act that happens, but, you know, they've been balancing over the years, but it seems like they continue to get tighter and tighter and tighter on the regulations to the point where, you know, people are going to be afraid to have one glass of wine with the fear of being accused of driving while intoxicated. And that's, you know, that's going to be a big game changer. I mean, and again, I'm not looking strictly for the restaurant and hotel and hospitality business. I'm just thinking people in general, you know, again, with ride sharing and other methods of transportation, that might be a great way to push people to consider other means of transport if they decide that they're going to have a couple glasses of wine.
The lower BAC limits have been proposed by one New York State lawmaker, but are not anywhere near consideration in the current session.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.